What's up, guys? It's Sunday, November 5th, 2017, and this week, Christmas comes 2 months early with the arrival of several long-awaited games. We embark on an adventure to save Princess Peach in Super Mario Odyssey. Then we head back to ancient Egypt in Assassin's Creed Origins, and we get to punch the Nazis square in the mouth yet again as protagonist BJ Blazkowicz and talk Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus. I mean, who doesn't love punching Nazis, right, guys?
I know I do.
So join us for all this and a guest host appearance from Buddy TJ and this episode of Glitch Therapy number 34. Ben, crank that theme, baby. What's up, gentlemen, and welcome to another installment of Glitch Therapy. As always, I'm your host, Ramondo Burnside, and with me,
Ben Dupe,
Jose Ochoa,
TJ Nicoletto.
Mm-hmm. That is a guest appearance, folks. Yes, you
it
heard
is.
That correctly.
It's a good one.
That was not Joel. That was TJ.
Yep.
A longtime listener, good buddy of mine. Happy to have him on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you know.
It's going to get weird.
It's going to get weird
what
real
do you
quick.
Mean?
When does it not get weird, though?
Yeah, I mean, what are you talking about?
I don't feel like that's TJ's fault. I feel like we just...
Yeah, okay.
A weird group.
You made it weird.
Shut up.
Yeah, maybe it's you making things weird.
I don't
weird.
Have a comeback for that.
I know, because that's what you do. You make it weird. It's like, it's you.
Yep.
Oh,
shut up. We're already on the episode title here. Jose making things weird.
Yeah. I mean... You can't argue with it.
I can't, no.
What have you guys been up to? Anything special go down besides seeing Thor rock your world?
I was about to say, that was pretty damn special.
Mm. Thor was it was epic.
I didn't see it yet, so shut up, right?
He's coming in here earmuffs. Making us not talk spoilers.
What the fuck, man?
I didn't have time yesterday and on Friday.
It's been out since, like, what, Wednesday? Thursday?
No.
Thursday.
Really?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, it came out on Thursday.
Get your shit together.
You know I won't.
It was so good. So we're going to have to not spoil this one.
I think we can talk around it for the most part.
Yeah. But, like, I don't know. If you don't want to hear anything about Thor Ragnarok, like, I'll put the timestamp where we stop talking about it or whatever.
It was juicy, man. It was so good.
Yeah.
I don't know how you guys feel about it, but where would you rate it? Like, with the other Marvel movies that are really good? You know what I mean? Like Guardians and whatnot. I think it was better than Guardians 2 for sure.
It was better than Guardians 2 by a long shot. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Guardians 2 was good, but it wasn't like I thought Guardians 1 was better than Guardians 2. And this kind of like, I don't know, like a lot of people are calling it Guardians of the Galaxy 3. Like, and I feel like it was way different from a Guardians. Like, it had some of those weird spacey aspects of a Guardians movie, but it also had like totally metal moments. Like
Led Zeppelin,
like girls just riding on a fucking horse through the air out of flames with a sword. Like that's shit you would see on a Led Zeppelin album cover.
It's like any old 80s metal album is what that was.
Yeah, it was epic.
Well, I mean, anytime anybody uses Immigrant Song properly, it is the jam. Like, I don't know how you can ruin putting that song into any kind of trailer or anything. It just beats.
And how much did it cost them to do it?
Like twice they did it, right?
Yeah.
In the movie?
Yeah.
Was it three times?
The rights to that song are probably up there.
Astronomical.
Yeah.
Astronomical.
I mean, what, Destiny 1 used it in their advertisement for that game before that game dropped a couple years ago.
Right.
You know, in their trailer and stuff too, so.
I'm so left out in this conversation.
Let's teach you to see.
Yeah.
When Star Wars comes out, buddy, you better have seen Justice that League. The weekend it comes out.
I'll probably see it 3 days after.
Just in time for the podcast to not be able to talk about it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Womp, womp, womp.
I'm so excited for Star Wars too, man. I'm watching, like, so I kind of like watched Force Awakens while I was working on some shit, just like talking head shit on the background or whatever.
Sure.
But now it's like I've decided to start at Rogue One, and like between now and, you know, when Star Wars comes out, and I'm watching like everything from Rogue One up to Force Awakens.
It's a tall order. It's not too, not too bad. Well,
I rewatched.
It's the right ones to watch, though.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the prequels, I don't know. Like, I hate the prequels, but I also feel like they're important, you know? I mean, there is a certain importance to some of them. There's things that we have, like, from Rebels that wouldn't exist without those. So it's like, it's kind of like, who's the guy that created Deadpool? What's his name?
Mm,
ah, shit.
Trivia question.
Creator of Deadpool.
Let me Google that for you.
Rob Liefeld. It's kind of like Rob Liefeld. I hate that guy with a passion.
Rob Liefeld created Deadpool?
Yeah.
The guy that can't draw wrists?
Yeah, he can't draw hands. He like there's that famous picture of Captain America he drew where it's anatomically incorrect.
He can't draw wrists?
He can't draw wrists at all.
Or hands or
That's
feet.
That's such a weird like part heck? Body part to not be able to draw. Like I can see like maybe like hands or faces or something.
Oh, no, no. Rob Liefeld is...
You can't draw a wrist?
See, the thing about Rob Liefeld, though, is he sucks and I don't like him, but he's very important to comic book history. And sure, so yes. The prequels are very important to Star Wars history. I don't like them. They're not good movies.
I don't think anybody likes the prequels.
I like
much,
episode
though.
One. Shut up.
Some people, wow. Episode wow. one.
You took a hard Yikes. Stance on that.
Yeah. I like it. I was going to say three is okay, but
Anakin,
one,
here's the thing. Anakin drives me crazy.
I was a kid when I saw episode one.
So. Okay, we are young in here.
Yeah.
But don't say that.
Hey, if it's your childhood.
Do you
want
to feel old? Tell him how old you are, Jose.
He already knows. I'm 26.
Yes. Yeah.
So we talked about
it's very
age.
Unfortunate.
He just put his head down. He's like, okay.
I just put my head in shame.
Hey, man.
Oh, your head in shame. I don't know.
All the good shit's circling back around now, though. It is. So it we is. Got we got all the epic, like, Stranger Things is getting poppy. Yep, people Stranger are getting Things nostalgic too. From the 80s and stuff.
Dude, I live in the 80s, man. That's where I stay. That's my sweet spot, my go-to.
People are kind of realizing that that's where all the like really good cinematography was and stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, like, absolutely. That was a sweet spot for sci-fi and action and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So they're going back there, like Rambo and even stuff like that. You know,
right?
So
not with anime.
Well, but no one likes anime, so you know.
Fuck you guys.
I'm just kidding.
The like last good anime I saw was Ninja Scroll, and that was
Ninja Scroll. Lovely, lovely.
I'm sorry for beating up on you, Jose.
Yeah. Well, he brought it up.
And he just gets bag on me.
We love you. That's why. But did you at least finish Stranger Things too?
I haven't started watching it.
God damn it!
What?
Jose?
Come on, man.
I haven't either. Dude, I started it. I've got three episodes left.
Okay. Oh, okay. At least you started.
I've been playing Assassin's Creed pretty much all weekend, so shut up.
Hey, he has one thing done.
That's
so,
good.
You know,
that's good.
You focused on one. That's cool.
Yeah, I did.
You did that.
You did so. Hyper-focused on that.
Yeah. See, I'm like so ADD. I'm like, I didn't really focus on anything that we're talking about today. I just took it all in.
See, I had to do that with Evil Within, too, because I was like, because that weekend when Assassin's Creed dropped, Odyssey dropped, and then Wolfenstein all came out on Friday the 27th of October, and it was like, fuck, I'm still playing Evil Within 2. If I go to any of those games, I'm not going to get this done. I'm not coming back to it. So I just said, fuck it, and I loaded them up and made sure they were on the hard drive ready to go, but then I just kept pounding away on Evil Within 2, and I'm glad I did because it paid off. It was a good, it's great ending, great game.
Oh, you finished it?
I did finish
it. Did you really enjoy it?
I did. It was good. It was way better
than
the first.
It's on my radar, but I haven't picked it up yet.
Yeah, it was way better than the first.
I got to get back into it. I'm on chapter, like, I don't know. I'm like three quarters of the way through the game right now.
Just pick a night and just say I'm just going to play this until the wee hours.
Yeah.
And just get through it.
I'm at the part where you're fighting that big, like, fire, or there's three of those big fire lava demon things that are walking around.
Those things pop up more toward the end, so I'm not sure which
one. It's the very first time you come across them.
Okay,
though.
Okay. Yeah, you're getting close.
Yeah,
you got I'm getting chapters there. Left. Ooh, I think it's 17 chapters total.
Oh, it's just like, change the subject here, but I just realized something. Outside of, I told you at work, outside of, I was at my other job at the bartending. I met, what's that dude, Rob's, the one that plays Captain Adam.
Captain Adam.
Adam
Captain
from Adam. The Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, I know. He,
oh, you're talking about, damn it. He lives around here.
Yeah.
I mean, Brandon
Rob.
Ralph.
It's not Rob.
Yeah.
Oh, I was like, Rob.
You met him?
No, I met her. I just realized that the lady that goes to the bar where I work, she's...
His aunt?
His aunt.
Oh,
we
cool.
were just talking about it. I was like, really? Like, all this time, me talking to you, and you just tell me this, like, years?
Yeah. He's from Iowa, yeah. I mean, like, he's...
He's just outside of Des Moines, I think. Like, one of the smaller towns or something like that.
One of the little country towns.
Maybe. I don't know. How are you guys... A question for you, because I really want to get your opinion before we move on. How are you guys feeling about Walking Dead Season 8 so far?
I love it.
I'm not loving it.
So, I've watched... the season premiere and then that's all I've watched.
Okay. Yeah.
Like I don't have that drive that I did with previous seasons. Like last season killed it for me.
Right.
Which is unfortunate. I mean, I was a diehard and watching the whole group get beat down that entire season, mm-hmm. it put both me and my wife Karen just off from it. We don't like it anymore.
See, I like that though, because it was getting to the point where Rick Grimes and his group,
they felt unstoppable.
They felt like they were gods, and it's right. like, man, these people need to be put in their place. Like, we need to feel like scared that anyone could die, you know?
Right.
And that fear was lost. I really didn't feel like any of these people were going to die mm-hmm. after Glenn. Like, I felt like they blew their wad at the start and no one else was going to die.
Sure.
But they drug it on for too long. That's what my problem
I feel like
was.
All Out War should have started like halfway through that season.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
But now that it's started, I like it. What are your complaints?
I feel like it's just taken... Like, it's not catching me like it did in the past. You know what I mean? Like, I was hoping for a bigger opening, maybe. I don't know if I was
See,
just...
See, I love that plan that they went through, like, yeah. with the cars and the metal on the sides yeah. and stuff.
It is nice seeing them actually, like, take the offensive for a change, because they're always sitting back waiting for Negan to do something or waiting for something to happen, and they're mm-hmm. being really, you know, proactive about doing something about their situation for a change. But at the same time, it is, I don't know what it is about this season. It's not like, oh, I'm not like excited you. To go to watch it, like kind of like what TJ's saying, but well, I'm going to keep watching though.
I mean, but come on. I mean, so Rick's got him dead for rights like throughout half of the episode, and he can't take one shot and just, you know, nick him or something?
Right.
See, that's the other thing, but though.
I think they did it on purpose, though. And they want to like, you know, they don't want to kill off their... They don't know, blow their I wad know. Killing the
Yeah.
The
well, and guy. In the comics, and I have this whole thing
but it
about
was annoying.
Killing Negan, it turns him into a martyr, you know, and you don't right. want that. Like, you don't... And, like, in the comics, when they don't kill Negan and they capture him and put him in jail, that's a big turning point for them, because it's like, we're not killing people anymore. We're humans. We're better than them. We're putting them in jail. And, like, that's why we're better than them. So I think it's, like, because all throughout the show, it's been, like, find a big bad guy, face off with him, like the governor, kill him. Find another big bad guy, kill him. So, like... Not killing the bad guy and throwing him in jail, A, lets you hang on. Like, how cool would it be if the governor was still in the show right now? I mean, like, because he was a really cool character.
Depends.
Same with Negan. It's like, you don't get rid of him. Like, you put him in jail, and then you have potential to reuse that character later on. So,
sure.
Yeah. I don't know.
I just hope it goes somewhere good. I mean, it was confusing, too, with the whole, like, visions with Rick and all that stuff. Sorry, no spoilers or anything, but...
They do like to do the...
I'm like, God damn it. It's like three different like things going on, and they're kind of jumping around, and then the preacher guy is like, he's a dumbass. Now he has some shitting pants on, and it's his own fault, and it's whatever, man.
They do like to do like the Pulp Fiction thing, where it's like it's non-linear. Like, they're jumping around.
I hope you
around
got your shitting pants on.
Yeah, that was...
you're going to be shitting your pants.
Very Negan moment. Yeah.
Right. Well, fuck. Should we move on to some news then, before we blow our shitting pants now?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Holy shit, that Last of Us 2 trailer was fucking brutal. Did you guys watch that shit?
Last of Us... No, shit, man, I didn't. Can we pause and watch it really quick?
Time for a pause. Yeah, just watched the Last of Us 2 trailer.
And Spider-Man.
And the Spider-Man.
Which I had not seen, thanks, TJ.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yep. Yeah, what do you guys think of... So my question was, how do you guys feel about that Last of Us 2 trailer? You think it was too violent, or...
I don't know, I mean... That game is violent, mm-hmm. so I don't feel like the trailer is going to be violent, you know? I don't know.
Yeah. It fits in that world. I mean, it's cutthroat, it's do whatever mm-hmm. needs to be done. I mean, it looked fantastic.
This isn't a My Little Pony trailer. we're talking like Walking Dead level. Like, I mean, that show is violent.
Exactly. My Little Pony's raw deal. Yeah.
I was expecting someone to like get their arm cut off. Like, they just broke her arm. I don't know. I don't feel like it was too ridiculous.
The reason why I asked is because, you know, a lot of people were like, you know, the outcry was like, oh, they're trying to do too much shock value. They're trying to go too far. And it's, I don't, like, if you've played those games, like, there's way worse shit in the first game than that.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? As far as just...
It's totally on par with the rest of the universe.
Mm. I agree.
And we don't even know what context this is all is taking place in. I mean, there's obviously some lead up. No one's just going to pull somebody out and hang them and then, you know, break somebody's arm over nothing.
Yeah.
You know, so there has to be some context there as well. So it begs the question, too, who are these new characters? You know, some people were hypothesizing that the muscular woman that was being hung is Ellie's mom, possibly.
Yeah, I had heard that.
Yeah. So
I forget what part she played in the
Ellie.
Ellie. I know she passed away, right?
They mentioned her like her mom in the first game, but that you never saw her.
Because the game started with just her Ellie and her dad kind of being their own thing or whatever. So you don't know what happened with her mom,
right? Well, yeah, because it was Joel and his daughter.
It's Joel and his daughter,
and then Joel's daughter dies, yeah. And then he meets Ellie later.
Oh, okay.
Ellie's a sidekick throughout the whole thing.
Oh, okay, okay, yeah, yeah. Cool.
I mean, you talk about setting a tone of a game. I mean, the beginning parts of that game, spoiler if you haven't played The Last of Us, but sure. I mean, the daughter dies at the very beginning of it.
My God, you haven't played The Last of Us?
I haven't had a PS4 for a long time.
It was on PS3.
It was?
Yeah.
I never had
it's on PS4 as well, though, too. So if you want to play it still, I mean, it's backwards compatible.
We are 15 minutes into the podcast, and Jose already has 3 strikes.
Yeah.
I feel like I have 4 strikes already. Shut up.
I'm trying to be lenient here. No.
I haven't seen Walking Dead yet.
It's a great game, dude. If you get a chance to check it out, it's probably in my top. I think it's for sure in my top 10.
Yeah. It's in my top 5.
Top 5?
Of all
I'd
time.
Say it creeps in there, for sure.
It's in my queue.
Yeah.
Well, I'll get there.
Hopefully you get that in you.
You say that now, you'll never get there.
Yeah, I'm
the list, the list just grows.
He needs to cut out Naruto, and then he can squeeze it. And then he can squeeze it in.
No, I'm doing good with Naruto. Shut up.
But yeah, both those trailers look awesome. So, Last of Us, I think the rumor is that March or like first quarter of 2018 is the rumor I've been hearing, and then
you know that's not going to be.
I know, right? They're going to push it back probably. I'm hoping, fingers crossed. And then Spider-Man's probably going to be like they usually put those around like June or so for some of those games, wouldn't you say? Or
yeah, like, yeah, they're usually
late early summer.
Yeah, in that August range.
Sure. Yeah. So
I'm going to say,
and I'm fine with that because you know the fall always gets overloaded. I mean. You know, so we shall see. Something else I wanted to bring up to you guys as well is Jordan Peele, you know, from, you know, Key and Peele, and he also directed and wrote Get Out. He has signed on to revive the Twilight Zone series on CBS All Access.
Fuck yeah. Sweet. I was actually rewatching some Twilight Zone the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fun show to watch. Very old, but very fun.
The only thing I ever watched was the movie, the Twilight Zone movie.
When he's on the wing.
Oh, it freaked me out.
I never saw that one.
So I saw that movie. Wouldn't that come out when we were kids? Wasn't it the 80s? It's like the mid-80s? That movie fucked me up, too.
It terrified me. I didn't want to ride on a plane ever.
Fuck no.
No, I have no idea what...
Yeah, you were like a twinkle in your dad's nutsack.
You were still swimming around,
whoa,
buddy.
All right,
swimming around,
nice. Just hanging out.
Yeah,
just a twinkle,
hanging out.
Yeah,
slightly. No,
it wasn't a shot. It was a fact. I'm not taking a shot. Just saying.
I gotta check that out though. The Twilight Zone movie.
It should be really good, but it's an all access streaming service, so not everybody will be able to watch that, unfortunately. So I'm sure it'll reach.
Oh, they're gonna do it on CBS All Access.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because they still own the rights to Twilight Zone.
Yeah, they should just contract out to Hulu like Fox does, man. Because that works really well. And I feel like, I don't know, but everyone's going to start wanting, like Disney has their own streaming service. Yeah. DC has a new streaming service that's coming out. I mean, like everyone's, and it's going to be start getting to the point where it's like how much you're going to pay for cable.
This is a whole other subject that I could talk for hours on.
Right? Yes, I know.
It's going to be a piecemeal thing where you're going to have to just choose between the couple that you need, and everyone's going to have Netflix. That's already embedded in your life.
Hulu. This everything that I ever wanted was I wanted a la carte services, and now that I have it, it's like now there's too many.
Yep.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to have their own,
and that's where I think like user experience. If you just condensed it all to one service and made it a little more expensive, you know, like if Hulu had HBO and all the movie channels and everything, and then raised it up to like $25 a month and had that option where you could either buy like basic Hulu or the Hulu with like all the movie channels. I would pay for that extra service or whatever.
Yeah.
And if like pay $30 a month for no ads or something.
Well, it makes it even tougher because everyone's partnering up now. Like AT&T is now partnered with like HBO. And so you get a free HBO with like certain packages of like your phone service and shit now as well. And
these motherfuckers have been blowing me up, man. AT&T. They're like, we own DirecTV now. Do you want cable back?
No.
And it's like, no, I still don't. I don't care how good it is. Right. Like, sorry.
I'm enjoying it right now, but I'll probably be getting rid of my DirecTV pretty soon here.
I buy like season passes on the Xbox store to like Walking Dead. Like, I pay like $25 at the start of the season and I get the whole season.
I'm a bastard. I just write off my mom and dad's account still.
Hey, if I knew someone,
I can use my email address that I've had for years.
I wish I could do that.
Yeah. If I could, I would. Straight up.
Well, another thing I want to bring up too, Ben, and you're going to, I don't know if I'm going to make you eat these words, but Rocksteady may be announcing a Superman game.
Oh, hey, man, I'm not eating words, okay? Like,
I'm not even hungry.
Yeah, I am totally okay with that if they do it right.
I think they will.
I feel like that's a very difficult thing to pull off.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, how do you pull off a guy that can just kill everybody with a flick of his finger, you know?
I just think the scale of the game, period.
They said it's going to be huge.
It has to be literally an open planet.
It's going
to
be open world.
Because he can go anywhere he wants. Or you have to make it linear where it's like, you have little sandboxes you go through on a linear path. But if it's open world, it has to be open world, like planet.
Well, from what they're saying, it's going to be open world.
Yeah, there's a game that's pretty much going to be like that. That's going to be Anthem. Mm-hmm. It's going to be huge-ass open world.
Yep.
So, okay, so what's the actual news on this Superman? Like, where
it's just they're rumoring that they're gonna that there's a possible reveal, and it's gonna possibly be on the cover of Game Informer, new issue coming up here.
That's a whole lot of possible.
I know, and I'm like, I'm hoping it all comes true because I mean, he's not my favorite superhero, but I think if anybody deserves a well-made game, it's Superman.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean?
Do too.
Before Rocksteady got a hold of Batman, there was no good Batman games really either.
Yeah,
hey. Let's not forget about the NES classic Batman game,
the ridiculously hard one. Yeah, it's that game was so hard.
I know.
Oh my god,
man! You don't get me started.
But it was good. It was fun. It was just really hard, like most NES games.
Oh yeah, it's a true story.
Yeah.
Other news: we also have PUBG has its Xbox preview program release date finally for Xbox One. That's for December 12th, and it's going to be $30. So if you want to get in on the action and while it's in preview on Xbox, it'll be December 12th. It'll cost you $30, so it's not bad for the price of entry to get to try it out beforehand.
Well, here's the thing: I play it on PC currently.
Sure.
And I'm having actually more fun now playing that Fortnite expansion or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's funner. Just the overall mechanics of it are mm-hmm. better than regular PUBG.
Sure. I tried it out too. I enjoyed it. I definitely need to get my hands on it a little longer because I kept messing up and like building shit.
Right.
When I didn't want to build stuff and you know, people were building cool things around me and taking me out with said shit. So I need to definitely up my game and play that a bit more. But that's exciting, though. But what excited me even more than that was Shadow of the Colossus got a release date. Oh. Finally, for February 6th, they announced it at Paris Games Week about a week ago.
I saw the trailer. It looks so good.
Beautiful. That's a remaster of the first one?
Yeah, they're like re-releasing it, and they're upping all the graphics and everything.
Oh,
and
cool.
It's a whole rehaul of the whole thing. It's going to be nice. I'm not sure about the controls. I think the controls are going to still be kind of iffy, possibly.
I hope so, because those controls were a little rough back in the day.
Yeah, they need to up those and change that, but I don't know if they'll actually mess with it. I hope they do.
Yeah, I never played Shadow of Colossus.
Oh, when it comes out, dude, you need to get your hands on it. It'll be a PS4 exclusive. So
okay, I'll jam on it.
Keep an eye out for that.
Nice.
And the last thing I was wanted to bring up was that fact that there was a couple weeks back they announced that there was a $46,000 PS4 bundle that was sold in Taiwan. It was exclusively to that country. Yeah, 46 grand, okay? And so the guy that ended up purchasing it or whatever was like a car collector. And so apparently you got a PS4 Pro system, a PlayStation VR, PlayStation Plus membership for a year, which is like, you might as well get that shit for like 10 years or something like that.
Okay. so far we're in like $500 range.
You get a Thrustmaster TGT racing wheel, so one of the top-of-the-line racing wheels, a top-of-the-line APIGA, APIGA, I don't know, AP1 racing seat, so really good racing seat. And then you got a 4K Sony Bravia TV with HDR, a copy of Gran Turismo Sport, and a limited edition 2018 Mazda MX-5 car.
Okay.
All right.
Fair enough.
A car?
You got a car.
Fair enough.
You got everything. So if you didn't have a TV or the gaming system,
you have a car.
You're going to jam it all in your car and drive it all home, I guess. But
I don't know if I can call this a PlayStation bundle. That's ridiculous, man. Come on, dude. I feel like I would call this
technically, isn't it?
No. Yeah. I mean, okay. Like, so if I buy a house and like the seller just throws in a PS4 with the house, then is that a PS4 bundle? You know, like
if the PS4 is the headliner, yes.
Absolutely.
I feel like the house is, the car is the headliner in that deal. Like that's the most expensive thing you're getting
because they're tying into Gran Turismo Sport as like this promotional thing, but it's only in Taiwan, so they didn't even open it up to the West or anything like that.
Yeah, but, I guess I'll allow it. I don't know.
That's because Gran Turismo Sport's not very good.
I don't think it's good at all.
Wasn't that as good?
Yeah, we talked about that last week or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
you're not missing much, but cool to him for getting that. But
still
right on, dude.
Fucking crazy talk. What do you got, Ben?
All right, so first piece of news I have isn't really game news. I just wasn't sure if you guys had. I'm sure you've heard about it with all this shit with Kevin Spacey happening.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
it's kind of crazy, man. Like, House of Cards is not. Like continuing the show with him, like because I guess he's been like harassing people on the set of House of Cards. Like some of the cast members have come out and said, like, yeah, he harasses us, and like so they're canceling the show or it's not going on with him anymore. And I just thought that was crazy. Somebody. What?
I think you could find somebody to take his place. There's a lot of great actors in that with his range.
It's
that
just
could pick
tough
it up.
Though because like he's the. I mean, he is sure. Frank Underwood is the part of that show that makes everyone, you know, love that show so much. He's such a great actor, you know. Mm. It's just crazy. So
yeah, it's unfortunate.
It is. Yeah, I just thought it was nuts. So anyway, but they're canceling House of Cards.
It makes you wonder too, not to go down this path or anything. Just a quick. It makes you wonder too, like how many other people out there, not just like that have been like messed with by him, but just other actors and big name celebrities out there who have done this stuff and that have not been called out yet.
All of it's coming out now.
It's like, a big,
there's all of it.
And I love that. It's a big thing about Hollywood is they're making Hollywood like
accountable
to the, and that's how it should be, man. Like every workplace, I don't give a shit if you're a millionaire or famous or like you're not untouchable, you know, you shouldn't be. So, it's good that they're holding people accountable. So another piece of news, apparently we're getting an Infinity War trailer by the end of this year.
Oh, come on.
We've already seen it. Like, let's just put it out.
You know, well, I think it's going to be something different. But
not everybody goes to Pornhub like you do.
Hey, yeah, man. I know, right?
Hey, man. Hey, guys. I don't.
Right.
Uh-huh.
I sound real serious.
That was a poor
fuck
lead
you,
up,
TJ.
Man.
Sorry.
sorry.
Sorry, not sorry.
Sorry,
so
not sorry.
I think the reason that we didn't get one up till this point, though, is they didn't want to take focus off of Thor Ragnarok.
Sure.
I'll agree with that.
They wanted to promote Thor Ragnarok, and now that Thor Ragnarok's out, I feel like it's only a week or two, and we'll probably get
matter
one.
Time.
Yeah. They want to let that movie breathe in the box office and get people pumped for it.
Not to mention, there's probably things in Thor Ragnarok that will kind of lead into Infinity War that you don't want, you know what I mean? Like, what if there's certain characters
there's
that team up or something? You know what I mean?
There's one thing that happens in Thor Ragnarok that, like, I guarantee you can't show an Infinity War trailer until people have seen Thor.
Yeah, exactly.
Because there's one thing they did very good at covering
it at
the
end
up.
Yes.
No, it's no. I don't want to go forward
it's
with
during
it.
The movie.
Yeah, but it's something that like you can't. Yeah, I won't even say it, but like it's something that you can't release that trailer.
You give it away.
Yeah. If I keep talking about it, I'm going to give something away.
No,
so,
you won't. It's fine.
Just you'll know when you've seen it.
Yeah, but what about Black Panther? Is that one going to
That comes in February.
Yeah, so oh, this
so
time.
So I feel like the release of the Infinity War trailer is actually like this strategic thing where like hype for Thor Ragnarok is going to die down a little after a couple weeks and people will stop seeing it, and then they're going to release that Infinity War trailer and people are going to be like, shit, I want to go back and see Thor again. It's just going to raise hype for that movie a couple weeks after hype's died down.
Then
so.
That leads into, you know, like you said, Black Panther. And so on. So, I mean, trust me, those guys have been doing a great job with that stuff. They know what they're doing.
Keep up, DC.
Yeah.
Keep up, DC. DC isn't even in the picture. Are they even on
the
track?
Hold on. DC
they're still in the starting line.
I don't know. No, man,
DC's doing
did
okay.
Did you hear about Henry Cavill was kind of called out DC for the way that they've been handling the movies? He like tweeted or something and made a comment about like how poorly they've been trying to capture the magic that like, you know, Marvel has already done and stuff, and that the direction that they've been going in has been kind of a poor direction and that things need to change.
Well, yeah, they said that according to the quote, it wasn't until the actual introduction of Wonder Woman that that thing started to go in a better direction.
Yeah.
I think it was more just like getting another director other than Zack Snyder, you know?
Well,
I feel like that he's caused a lot of problems because he has this very dark, gritty tone, and that's just his thing. You know? I feel like that would be really cool for a Batman movie, but trying to make a Superman movie with that is like, he's supposed to be a hopeful character, you know?
Right.
Like
he doesn't have to be a Boy Scout necessarily, but he doesn't need to be brooding like Batman.
Yeah, it needs to be hopeful. I mean, just hope. It doesn't need to be corny or Boy Scoutish, just hopeful.
You're just saying you want Christopher Reeves Superman, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, sure. Whatever. Okay. Yeah, well, just going to be putting words in my mouth, you know, whatever.
Just jamming them in.
Yeah. So, anyway, speaking of jamming things in, I don't know how that's going to...
Let's see how this turns out.
So, I don't know. Pickle Rick.
You jamming pickles now?
Pickle Rick!
All right, bitch.
So a fan made a Pickle Rick video game and put it on Steam.
Oh, nice.
And it was just removed for copyright reasons, obviously.
Didn't get permission, I take it.
Yeah, but this game looks amazing. Oh, it looks so... Like, and I'll link a trailer to the game or some gameplay where whatever the fuck that guy's name is.
PewDiePie.
He's playing it and, you know, being a smartass like he does. But,
right.
Yeah, the fun part is watching the game. So, he's pretty awesome. I don't know. That's my favorite episode of Rick and Morty, so I love seeing that game in action. So
I'm a little behind on that.
On Rick and Morty?
Yeah, I've been trying to catch up on it.
Have you seen the Pickle Rick episode?
I've seen, yeah, like all the clips and everything from it. I haven't seen the whole thing.
Oh, man, it's the best 20 minutes of Rick and Morty, in my opinion. It's such a good episode.
It's funny, but like there's nothing to that episode. Pickle Rick.
Just an excuse for them to show gratuitous fighting with the pickle.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought the whole way whole way he went from being a pickle to actually being able to move around and shit was really smart. I thought the cat, you know, thinking he was a snake or whatever and kicking him. I don't know. It's just really good. So, wubba dubba dub dub on that. And speaking of more Rick and Morty stuff, Rick and Morty's co-creator, writer, started a new podcast to discuss race and reaction to the show. So Dan Harmon is the co-creator, and writer Jessica Gao have a new podcast. It's called Whiting Wongs. So it's Writing Wrongs except Whiting Wongs. Yeah. If you'll remember, the therapist name from the Pickle Rick episode was Dr. Wong. Uh-huh. And it was an Asian doctor.
Sure.
So Whiting Wongs, they're talking about like race issues in Hollywood and stuff like that. Okay. But and how it affects like Rick and Morty in the show. But I've heard it's a pretty great podcast.
Might have to check that out.
Yeah, check that out. It's called Whiting Wongs. And that is all I have for news.
Nice. Wow. Anybody else?
I got nothing.
Yeah,
we're like right at time too. So that was.
I got nothing.
Well, look at that. We're on schedule.
All right.
Check my pocket watch, and we'll move on. Let's go to the topics.
Let's do it.
First and foremost, fuck Jose.
that was nice. That was like a little disclaimer you threw at the beginning.
Eat Snacky Smalls.
I'm not gonna fight this because okay.
Just let it happen.
Jose, it's okay. Just let it happen. Super Mario Odyssey, Assassin's Creed Origins, and Wolfenstein 2: The New Colossus all dropped on the same date, October 27th, blowing all of our collective minds
and money.
Yeah, blowing everybody's wigs back. It was like, what the hell, man? But Super Mario Odyssey, TJ, you and Ben have been banging away on that thing.
Mm-hmm.
You guys got to tell me how are you liking it?
Well, so when I go and play it, I was never a fan of Super Mario 64.
I know.
I was always a 2D Mario guy. I loved Super Mario. Super Mario Brothers 2 was my favorite of all time.
Oh, I love
Mario 2. I played Super Mario Sunshine, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This one, the controls on it are just, they are so tight and precise.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they are.
It's impeccable.
Yeah, it's very good. I've enjoyed it. I like Mario 64, but I am more of a fan of the side-scrolling Mario.
Yeah.
I've always liked side-scrolling Mario better. I think that game is just, I don't know. The more you try to add to Mario, it seems like, okay, but can we just keep it what it was? Because you had a really good model, and it's worked for decades. So, but that being said, I do really enjoy this game. I like the controls to it. I feel like the levels where you go into these weird kind of worlds is really interesting, and the sentient hat is a really nice aspect on it too.
I'm a big fan of Cappy.
He's like your sidekick,
right?
Yeah.
the design, obviously, it's just a hat with eyes, you know, whatever. But the fact that, you know, they've kind of replaced all of your traditional power-ups now with, you know, just taking over all of these various characters. Like, my favorite characters to take over are the Goombas.
Yeah, because you can jump up. You can throw your hat at a Goomba, and then you become a Goomba. And you can jump on top of another Goomba, and, like, you become high. So you can start stacking Goombas, and your character gets taller, and you can reach shit.
So you're basically putting Mario's soul into the bodies of these enemies.
Yeah.
And then after you jump out of them, do they die, or do they go back to being themselves?
They just kind of sit there for a second, look dazed, and then they just disappear.
Some fucked up shit.
Yes.
It's a little bit of possession, but it's fine.
Of the body snatchers.
That's dark, man. Exorcist stuff like that.
Mario's
is it any
around.
More dark than throwing them into a pit of lava or, like, you know, I mean, come on.
Or just straight up stomping on them.
Okay, yeah.
In these games, let me pose a question. Is Mario the true bad guy?
Yeah.
All the murder he does.
Shut up in your stoner question there.
I know.
The murder that Mario's doing. You guys don't think
but
that's
it's all
evil?
To stop, you know, a wedding. So,
wait, taking
you know.
Of a
bomb? I also have a problem with Bowser always wanting to marry Princess Peach. What is she like the Yoko Ono of this situation? Like, how
I
is
guess,
she like?
Yeah.
Like
you've thought a lot about this, huh?
Yeah, she was.
I've been pondering this all week.
Yeah, I will say I'm interested to hear what you guys think about this, though. I think that Mario games have just gotten progressively easier as time has gone on.
You think so?
And it's annoying to me because, like, man, I played Super Mario on Super NES recently, and I still can't beat the very final Bowser level. I haven't put that much time into it, but that game took me a long time to get through. I mean, like, it's challenging, and this game is just not challenging at all. It's super easy.
Have you started the after credits gaming of it?
No, and I haven't beat it yet.
Because once you beat it, it opens up a whole new, like, all the levels, like, they kind of, what am I trying to say? They rearranged the levels a little bit, made them tougher, and you go back and play through them all again, and then also it opens up some new stuff, I guess, once you beat it.
So yeah,
you try
and
to get all the
Ariel said it's
and
something
stuff.
You don't want spoiled at
exactly.
The end,
yeah,
so,
yeah, that's what I've heard, too.
But I feel like the initial gameplay should be challenging. You should be challenging people. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I've died very rarely in it. I mean, they've gone away from the traditional, you know, just, you know, three or four lives or however many you get. And now it's however many coins you collect. So if you die, you get, it, like, you know, 10 coins taken away or
like
whatever.
Like Sonic style, but not, except they don't bounce out of you.
Well, they do still bounce out
of
you.
Do they really?
Well, sort of. After you die.
Okay. Yeah, you die, and then a screen pops up with your coins, and it, like, subtracts 10, and you go back to playing or whatever.
So you still have lives, essentially. It's just in a coin. Okay.
And that I like that because it gives the coins more value than they originally had.
Yeah.
Like, you know, coins didn't really matter to me in the old Mario games. Like, if I was really low on lives, I'd try and collect 100 just to get one extra life or something.
Yeah.
But in this game, it's like you really want to collect coins because that gives you more lives. But again, you don't ever die, so it doesn't really matter. Like,
so you don't have the incentive. So let's say there's some coins on like some shitty platform that you're like, okay, if I try to get over there, I'm going to die, but I need these coins. So
only if I need them to buy like a sick hat from the store.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you call, so there's shops in each level where you can buy outfits or hats or whatever.
Okay, okay.
And some of them are purely aesthetic, but then others will, like, you have to be wearing a certain type of outfit to get into this room or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not something you need to progress through the game, but it's if you're one of those people that has to, like, collect every trophy or play through every aspect of a game, you'll want to collect all the coins
and
stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah.
Okay. Sounds legit. I want to get my hands on it soon. I think I might end up picking it up for Christmas for the girls.
Okay.
Oh, my kids love it.
Yeah.
My boys absolutely love it.
It does seem like a
fight
good
over
kids
it.
Game.
It'll secretly be for me because then Abby's like, "I'm not bad." And I'm like, "Sure." And just pull that out.
Grab
of
that switch.
Yeah.
Every time.
TJ, I think you have some history with this.
Absolutely.
Come to bed. Yep, I'm coming with the switch. man. Yeah, I want to play it. It looks so good, and I loved Super Mario 64 back in the day. It was one of those, like, Saturday morning, like, get a bowl of cereal under a blanket and just game out kind of game. So
speaking of cereal, the new Oreos cereal. Do you remember Oreos cereal from your childhood?
Are they back?
They stopped me. It's back. Oh yeah,
are you serious?
The Oreos circles.
Yes. I saw it in your kitchen as I walked in.
That's cavities have returned.
First thing I saw.
Yeah, I know. My wife was like, "You're such a teenager."
Where'd you buy it?
Hy-Vee.
I love a good sugary cereal. I have like two boxes of Reese's Puffs in my.
That's one of mine. Now. Yeah, we should start a cereal podcast. That would be.
I mean, we could.
Call it serial killers.
Yes, exactly.
I think there's
a like down.
I actually have a spoon that says serial killer on it.
Just don't chew it on the
there's
on the mic.
Bar that just has like hundreds of cereals. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, it's somewhere in.
I think it's in California.
We are way off.
We have gone way off the rails.
Way off topic.
Listeners, we are so sorry. If you do enjoy cereal, please tune in to the cereal podcast shortly after this one.
Yeah.
Next topic is Cocoa Puffs.
No. Yep. Close.
Count Chocula?
So
Assassin's Creed Origins, maybe.
First off, though, for Super Mario, let's just talk ratings. If you had to rate this game 1 out of 10, TJ, what would you say?
I give it a solid 9.
Okay.
A solid 9 out of 10. It is just hours upon hours of just, I don't want to stop playing it. I just want to continue to jump around and possess things. It's the most random thing in the world. But.
Yeah, it's super fun. It's a tough one for me to rate because I feel like they got really creative on this one, and like there's a lot of aspects, like especially the New York City level.
I was gonna say something about I don't want to spoil it for anybody out there.
Once you get
that
to the end of that, something happens, right?
Oh, it is.
Yeah,
it is.
That's
just
what I keep hearing.
An amazing throwback.
Okay,
when you get to the end of New York City,
there's the festival.
Oh, I didn't get the last musician. Okay, I'll do that. I'll go back.
You really need to do it.
Okay. Cool. Huh. But yeah, so the creativity was there. They really thought of a way to they Nintendo'd this situation where they thought of an out of the box situation to put Mario in to make a different type of Mario game than we've ever seen. So for that, I give them points. The only really qualm I have with it is I wish it was more difficult. I wish there was more enemies that were floating around, or I wish there was just a hard setting on it.
Right.
Yeah.
Which you'll never get on the Mario game. It's usually just whatever it is.
Well, I don't want to lose my gamer cred, but I never beat the original Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah. No, I mean, we were talking about that last night, I think. I've never beat it without warping levels. I mean, I beat it from, you can, warp from, World 2 to 7 or whatever, but I've never just front to back played every level and beat it.
All you're going to get is a bunch of your princesses in another castle kind of shit.
Yeah, but I mean, it would be a lot of gamer cred to be able to see you beat that.
Oh, I've done it multiple times, and you're not missing a whole lot. Just checking a box.
I'll go to a 9 out of 10 on that one, though.
Nice.
So, yeah,
well, Metacritic gave it 97 out of 100, so it's
legit. Up there.
And oh, yeah, it's a very good game.
A lot of them gave it a 10s. I mean, EGM gave it a 10, Game Informer 9.75, GameSpot gave it a 10.
So do you think it's better than Zelda Breath of the Wild?
No, me neither. I'm a huge Zelda fan, and Zelda they completely redid the formula on Zelda.
That's going to be my game of the year this year.
It's going to be tough to beat, for sure.
I mean, I don't think there's a single game you could have made this year that would be better than Breath of the Wild.
The Assassin's Creed.
Nope.
I don't know.
We'll get to that.
Yes.
Hoping somebody gives it a
Horizon was really good. I really, really enjoyed Horizon.
Horizon was fun.
And that comes out this week, too.
The expansion does?
Yeah, the DLC or whatever.
I just feel you should have released Horizon at a different part of the year.
Because
it was competing for Zelda in my gameplay. And it's I'm going to choose Zelda every time.
Well, I got hit with it and also Resident Evil 7 all at the same time.
That was.
Well, the beginning of the year is turning into the end of the year. The way stuff comes out, because no one wants to drop all their shit at the end of the year. And think about this next year, too. You're going to get, Red Dead Redemption 2, later in the year. And anybody in the way of that thing is going to get steamrolled. So it's ooh, do I want to change my release date and push my stuff back?
Far Cry 5.
Or push it forward and get it out there before it drops? Or how do you want to play? You know what I mean? It's going to eat it alive. And just like with Zelda, when that came out, it was fuck, everything else took a back seat for most people.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I'm glad Far Cry 5 didn't go the way of the Western game, though. I'm glad they kind of went a different way than Red Dead, because I feel like they would have screwed themselves if they had tried to make it a Western. Yeah. So
they would have got punched in the junk for sure.
Yeah. Yep.
But yeah, with that said, let's go ahead and go back in time and punch someone in the junk with some Assassin's Creed Origins talk.
Punch in a what?
Punch in the junk.
You don't punch
Oh, yeah, you do.
It's a transitional thing you just ruined for me, but it's okay. It's fine.
No, I caught it.
Yeah.
TJ alley-ooped me back up. Dude, what are you doing?
Wait, stop.
What are you doing, bro?
Well, there's actually a mission.
Right. I mean, let's talk about it. Assassin's Creed Origins, that dropped, like I said before, October 27th, the same day as Odyssey and Wolfenstein. I'm so glad they took 2 years off. The whole every year thing was getting it was not good.
I feel like that's way too much Assassin's Creed. Like, yes. I don't need that much Assassin's Creed. Like,
I need more.
Like, take 2 years and develop a really different, like, mm-hmm. cool version of it. And I feel like they did
well,
that.
Well, and I had started playing Assassin's Creed when, you know, the very first one dropped. Mm-hmm. You know, I love the sci-fi portion of it and the whole premise of it. Mm. Assassin's Creed 2 hooked me. You know, Ezio's whole story. But I kind of fell off after that, like the whole Native American one, the mm-hmm. Assassin's Creed 3. Mm-hmm. You know, it was okay, and then I barely played Black Flag.
I love Black
Flag. Like, it was really good. Yeah,
it was one of the best. I liked Black Flag, but I didn't play it very much.
Well, see, and I had bought just the standalone one that they had, Freedom's Cry.
Oh,
Freedom's
yeah, Cry? Yeah. His sidekick,
Adewale.
Yeah, he was like a slave that got free, and he was like his like right hand man or whatever.
But
yeah.
like so, and then Syndicate when it came out, I picked it up, and
that was pretty decent too.
But I enjoyed that,
but yeah. I never like I skipped over Unity completely.
You see, and that's one that makes me mad because Unity gets a. Like
it gets a really bad rap.
It gets a bad rap because when they launched it, it was so broken as far as the multiplayer stuff, which is what they touted up to that point.
Well, it wasn't just the multiplayer. I mean, it's
and
like
glitches and stuff.
People's missing faces. And
yeah,
everything.
Yeah. But if you and I didn't experience hardly any of that stuff, so I really enjoyed that game, and we had a great time playing 4-player co-op. Myself, Jose, yeah. Nick. Nice. Joel, and we would just all have a different colored outfits on and stuff. Like I had my black cloak on, and you know Joel had on his red, and then you know Jose had on his stuff, and we just like, all right, go that way, I'm gonna go over here, you guys meet up over here, and then we'd all just go off and do our thing and help each other out, like I'm in a fight and Jose throws some shit down and throws a smoke bomb, like where'd that come from? Oh, what's up, homie? You saved a brother, you know. But we had so much fun with it, and to hear that it got such shitty ratings and stuff because of a few things, it was like, damn, that was a good game.
Yeah,
it really was fun.
I enjoyed that. I still try to go back, but it's too far back now.
I haven't popped it in a while, man.
Now, what, Jose? Have you played the new one yet?
Yeah, I've been.
He's been banging away.
Banging on that.
What one. What are your thoughts on it?
It's a slow beginning. That's where everyone's going. It is a really slow beginning. But once you start opening the whole map, whole Egypt is just mm-hmm. amazing. This you're just running on the desert with your freaking camel or your horse, whatever.
I have a unicorn.
Did you get the unicorn?
I have the unicorn.
I
said, fuck it, I'm getting the unicorn.
I'm riding on the horse, just keep it nice, original.
I got a camel.
It's cool because if you're in the desert for a long amount of time just roaming around, you actually start hallucinating.
I heard that.
And it's crazy. Like,
that's pretty cool.
I left a sandstorm. I was riding through a sandstorm. The sandstorm left. I was saying there's people showing up from left and right. I'm like, they're telling me where to go, and I'm like, okay. So I started following it. Uh-huh. Once I get to the destination, it starts getting like really cloudy and dark, and out of nowhere, like bugs and birds just falling out of from the sky, and I'm just like, what the hell is going on? Like I myself was tripping out on the whole game, but once I got to the waypoint, everything was gone, and I was like, okay, so he's just tripping out on this.
That's really cool.
Yeah, but yeah, the first mission is just—it's
really long.
It's really long, but at the ending, it's just really trippy.
Yeah, because that first area is pretty lackluster. I mean, but it's understandable. You're kind of getting your feet wet. You're getting used to the mechanics, which I wanted to bring up too. Is like, if you need to change those buttons, feel free. They don't give you a lot of ability to remap it. Yeah, it's only like the default and then alternate, and it just swaps a few buttons around. Try it out. It might help.
I haven't had any problems with the new control scheme. Mm-hmm. What I'm really impressed with is I really enjoy the combat. I've heard on other podcasts people talking how they didn't really like it that much.
I don't think it's bad at all.
I think it's great.
It's pretty smooth, yeah.
Because in the other one, you just felt like
slash.
Yeah, you're like a Ginsu, man.
Or you're
just
waiting,
slicing
or
everything
you're waiting
up.
For someone to attack you so you can parry it.
Right.
That's all.
And where's the fun in that?
Yeah. At least this puts you more on the offensive. And they try to kind of go that direction with the one with the twins, Syndicate. Thank you. They went that way with Syndicate, where they kind of turned the tide a little bit and changed a few things. But I think this is a full turn in a different direction for the good, you know, for the better. Yeah.
So. I do think it's lost a little bit of its actual identity, though. It's much more of just like generic action game for the most part now, though. I'm not saying that that it's bad by any means. I really, really do enjoy it. It's just like the assassinations alone are just
I don't know.
They're lackluster.
That's the one thing I'm not liking. When you're hiding, your camouflage, and then you assassinate someone, it goes slow motion. That's the one thing I'm not liking about this game.
Is that how it always was, though?
No.
No.
There's a loud noise when you stab him.
Okay.
But right here, it's just he's like seeing you, and then the bar goes red, and then you stab him. That all goes slow motion. I'm like, I don't want to see this every time I kill someone.
Sure. Well, I mean, and that's the thing about like trying to make a game that's been out for like, think about that. We've had Assassin's Creed's coming out for like the last, what, 10 years?
10 roughly? Years.
Like almost every year.
Wow. Has it been that long?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. AC1. Oh, God, I can't even remember when that one came out for sure. Like early 2000s, like 2005, 2004, yeah, something like that. But, yes, and that's the thing that a developer has to like worry about. It's like, okay, we need to make this fresh and different, but at the same time, keep the roots and the, you know, what makes a game that game, you know? And
right.
So I think that's what this is kind of struggling with, a little bit of identity on that, because everybody expects Assassin's Creed to feel a certain way and be a certain way, and this steers away from some of that stuff to give you something fresh and different. So
also being a woman outside the Animus is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. I haven't got into that.
I haven't got into
just running for it.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
But it's so cool.
Yeah,
Spoiler alert. As well, they bring up the pass to the game. Mm-hmm. You open up the menu and you start looking files. They bring up events from the movie Assassin's Creed.
Oh, yeah, I heard that.
And Watch Dogs.
Nice.
Which was a cool... I was just reading the whole files. I was like, oh, cool. So I remember this mission when I had to assassinate this dude on Watch Dogs. And then...
Oh, was that the one on the bridge or whatever?
Yeah, when he's driving around in a convoy and you just have to blow them all up. Yeah, that's brought up in the news. Like, as a news... article in one of the files, and then as well another news article about the Assassin's Creed, the movie.
That's cool.
And I was like, oh cool, so they kind of heard like the fans.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to be they wanted that to be connected.
Sure.
And it worked out pretty well, and I was like, cool.
Yeah, that's awesome that they pulled all that together.
Well, didn't they say that people have always speculated that those are they're all the same world, same universe.
Yeah. That was a speculation that Watchdog was an assassin. I forgot his name.
Oh, wow.
Not an assassin, full place. Yeah.
What, Adrian Pierce or whatever?
Yeah, the wet blanket.
Yeah.
The Debbie Downer dude.
No personality.
Yeah, he was like not associated with him, but he was working
as an assassin. That's kind of a cool little...
He was a Templar.
Yeah, you're right.
Speaking can't be a Templar. He killed a Templar.
And speaking of that, it's kind of cool they take it back so that this actually promotes like the beginning of that whole conflict between the Brotherhood of Assassins and the Templar Order. So it shows how it all got started. So that's kind of cool. I mean, hence the name Origins.
Yeah. You're not an assassin yet in the game. Yeah.
But he's a pretty bad dude.
Oh, he's
pretty legit. It's legit. I'm looking forward to getting deeper into it for sure. And the microtransactions have been like something that people have brought up because of what's going on. It's not terrible like some of the other games. The offense that everybody's crying out about, I don't think it's that big of a deal. I mean, you can leave that stuff alone or not. And it's just aesthetics and stuff.
It's not really in your face or anything.
No.
I haven't touched those. Again, Syndicate had those and Unity had those. This is not the first one.
Yeah. And it doesn't affect gameplay necessarily. I mean, you get a better weapon or something like that, but it's for a single player game. Well, and it's no online aspects of it.
It's also not forced at all. I mean, you can all earn it through just in-game credits.
Yeah.
Yep. So, I mean,
that's good.
It's definitely not as bad as like Shadow of War or any of that stuff, where it kind of steers you that direction. It always sucks when a game makes it seem like, hey, this is not imposed on, and you don't have to do this stuff. But then later on, the game gets so hard that it almost like slides you towards it. Like, do you need some help? Here's a better weapon. Pay for this and get this, you know, this gun or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, God damn it! I don't just let me play the game and enjoy it. Like, why do you have to make it hard and make me pay for something?
Absolutely.
So, I don't know, but I'm glad it doesn't do that. I'm enjoying it. I'm looking forward to getting further into it for sure.
I tell you, I bought the Hidden Blade as well.
Yes, I saw.
I'm at home just jumping out of the couches and out of tables just trying to assassinate my little brother.
Awesome. You bought the one that they had at GameStop?
Yeah. The Blade, yeah.
My oldest boy, Gabe, he was with me when I bought it, and he's just, can we get that, Dad? I need it right now.
It's the best thing. I'm like hiding on like behind the wall. My brother's walking in, just like hit the Hidden Blade, just stab him with it.
Yes.
So good, man. Nah, but this game is good. I'm gonna enjoy it.
That's awesome, dude. I'm looking forward to getting deeper into it for sure.
Yeah, you guys are making me kind of want to buy it now, so mm-hmm. I might
it's
have
a
to,
long game, so yeah. If you got other shit you want to play before you do that, that's shorter, like Evil Within or something like that, get to that shit first, because this is going to take up a lot of your time.
And be prepared for the slow beginning. Give it an hour.
Like an hour or two, depending on how much side stuff you want to do. And keep in mind, too, don't bang away too much on the side missions like for a long time. Do a little bit of those and then do some story missions, because this game truly shines with the story missions. A lot of the side missions are kind of repetitive and lackluster, but the story missions, the main story is where it shines. So
yeah,
if you're gonna mix back and forth, do that. Don't just bang away on the side missions. You'll start thinking it's repetitive. So
okay,
well, yeah. Like I actually care about the character.
Yeah,
you know, he's actually really, really interesting. His whole premise of why he's on this crusade against them is actually really interesting.
It makes you give a shit.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially being a father.
Right. There you go.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, and this came out the same day as Super Mario Odyssey?
Yep, yeah. And cool. Wolfenstein. Yeah, all three in the same day.
Too bad they got Assassin's Creed got kind of overshadowed by Wolfenstein and Mario, but come on.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to finish Evil Within 2 and Super Mario Odyssey before I can jam on this. Yeah, so I would. It might be a little bit.
I would. But it'll be overwhelming to try to play all three. You
know? Yeah.
Yeah.
So many good games out right now.
Dude, we're
in Wolfenstein looks freaking awesome, too. I really had no idea what this was, but it looks really, really cool.
No, you ever played a Wolfenstein game?
No, never.
Dude, not even like the old school ones?
Nope.
You're in for a treat.
Oh. Yeah, I'm excited for it, for sure.
Yeah, I think it's really good because, and for me personally, I've been playing a lot of RPGs and stuff, and then I was playing, like, it's nice to get a palate cleanser. I don't know about some of you guys, but I can't play, like, the same type of game for, like over and over for months and months. It'll drive me crazy, unless it's really good, like something like Zelda or something like that.
Well, but, yeah, that's my problem is I have gamer ADD bad. Like, yeah. I'll start bouncing from one game to the
exactly.
other.
Exactly. And so it was nice palate cleanser to go from playing something that was like super like this is a linear game, this is all you have to do, and it was nice doing that to then go into something that's like open world like an Assassin's Creed game where it's like all this choice and I can go wherever I want. But then it's nice to go back to something else that like this is I don't have to think about Wolfenstein. It's just a running gun kill murder Nazis. That's all I'm doing. Pick up this gun.
Sounds like a good time to me.
Pick up this gun, shoot some Nazis, oh, get some bullets over here. I don't have to think about it. It just I can just pick it up and play, and I like that because some games take up so much of your mental, and you're looking for stuff, and you're trying to get through it. I can just bang way through this and just enjoy it for the fun it is.
Well, now, like, the story on this, the whole premise of, you know, they won the war, right? Yeah. You know, so you're going through it. Isn't this one, like, set in the 1960s or something?
Yeah, it's a little further. And they're all linked. The last couple have been linked. So I think they're talking about making it going to be a trilogy, possibly.
Maybe, I think I heard that.
Mecha Hitler or something in the third one. Who knows? Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I just seen an article about that where how far have you gotten in the game?
I think I'm about, where am I? I might be, like, maybe 40% through it. I'm not quite halfway.
Now, have you played it?
A little less than half.
I finished. I left the submarine. After that, I couldn't play it anymore. It wasn't my go-to game.
Why? What was wrong with it for you?
It was the controllers are just too sensitive. Like, even if I put it at the low, it still felt really sensitive to me.
Mm.
And I'm more of a Call of Duty guy.
You want more precision?
I want, when I aim down the sights, I want it to aim, like, I wanted to hit the guy, not go crazy on it. Mm. But this game, it's a running gun, and I can't really do a running gun. I have to be precision with my shots.
So did you ever play, like, Doom, the release of Doom?
No, I couldn't even play Doom.
You didn't like Doom? Oh, my. Doom was such a good time, too. It was one of those games, too, where you didn't have to think a lot. You just pop that game in and just run around.
There's no thinking. It's just reaction.
Yeah, just murder, run around.
That was, like, too reactionary for me. Like, there was... Yeah. I mean, it was fun when I was, like, in middle school, but now it's, like... I don't know. I need a little bit more substance. Not much, but just a little. Like this.
I think Wolfenstein would be a perfect blend.
Yeah, it looks like there's just a little more substance than a Doom game in Wolfenstein, but not a ton more. You know, just a little bit.
So. Plus, it makes you want to kill the Nazis. I mean, you know what I mean? Like everybody hates the Nazis.
As if you didn't want to kill them enough already.
Right. You know? Like, and they give you reason. They give you good reason to want to take them out. Like the narrative is actually pretty well written, in my opinion, for a game that's like that doesn't take itself too seriously. But it does a little bit, and there's a little bit of political tie-ins in there. I mean, I know that the developers and the publishers said that it wasn't meant to be political, and that they're not trying to say anything about anything going on right now in our own political climate. But
But
there's some stuff in there. You know what I mean? You can draw the lines yourself, and you know.
Yeah, I heard about stuff.
That's probably what they wanted you to do, was draw the lines yourself. You know, they probably weren't trying to come out and say it, because that gets dicey.
Exactly, and you don't want to go on record and have all that extra heat on you for something like that.
The
but
beginning of the game cracked me up. I don't think it's a spoiler, you know when the daughter goes into the submarine with the allies?
Yeah, yeah.
She's like, there's a black guy in the ship? And I was like, what?
I'm like, hell yeah, there is.
And then the other character also sarcastic is like, yeah, how did he get in here?
Right.
All I heard was a zip and a thud.
Yeah. That was hilarious.
It's such a good game, though. I mean, and it's a quick play. So, like, if you are wanting to get back to, like, you know, Assassin's Creed, or you want to play Odyssey, just like Evil Within 2, you can play this and just bang through. I think I went through a handful of missions in like an hour or two. I was just banging right along, just boom, boom. And there's not a whole lot going on. If you're not trying to find all the hidden things and pick up everything, you can just fly right through this game.
So now, like, as Jose was saying, do you play it more like, is it just run and gun and spray, or is it, you don't play it like Call of Duty, right? Like, you're not aiming down the sights and trying to be precise at all?
I am to some degree. I mean, because a lot of times when I'm shooting, I'll just shoot from the hip.
Right.
And I'm kind of running. I'll hide behind the boxes and stuff, kind of pop out, poke my head out, take a couple shots, pop, pop. So I am aiming sometimes, but it doesn't force you to do that all the time.
Okay.
It's up to you how you want to do it.
Okay.
And they give you, like, you can dual wield weapons, so you can hold, like, two machine guns. It's fun like that.
Is it the very beginning stage where you're, like, rolling around in your wheelchair, dual wielding?
Yes, you can.
That'd be sweet.
It's awesome, man. And it's an achievement. Like, it was like, take somebody down while you're in your wheelchair. So you just, like, roll up on them. Literally roll up on them and stab them in the neck with a knife, or bang their head against your arm. the arm of the chair or whatever on the wheelchair.
Good stuff.
It's just a fun who gives a shit kind of game. You know what I mean? Yeah, especially after you've been playing something else that's a little more serious. It's nice palate cleanser to just play something. It's like play it and throw it away kind of thing.
Evil Within 2, this would be a nice break from that.
Turn
your brain off for a while and just have some mind. Because there's a lot of thought in Evil Within 2 where you're having to like sneak and like strategize and shit.
This was a perfect game to go to after that.
Yeah, just run and gun, shoot some Nazis and have fun.
It's nice. So you should always switch up your stuff a little bit and give yourself some fresh perspective. But it's a lot of fun. If you haven't checked it out yet, do so. And like TJ was saying, it's a fun timeline what if kind of thing. You know, if the Nazis won and then we never went into the war because Japan never attacked Pearl Harbor and they just destroyed Europe and eventually put their sights on America and come across the pond and attack like New York and all that stuff. And so they're pushing into America. It's a crazy, man. It's a crazy story, but it's fun.
Cool.
Nice.
Yeah, I like it a lot. So check it out. Other than that, man, you guys got anything else you want to chat about real
Call
quick?
Call of Duty. Duty.
Well, that's next week, but I mean, I am playing that.
It's good.
I'm almost through the campaign. The campaign's really short.
Is it short? That was my concern.
It's short.
Yeah, I might jam on it a little if we're going to be talking about it. Yeah. So
it's broken into kind of like the vignettes from like Battlefield 1 to some degree, but they're more connected. It's like you stay with the same squad and you're the same character the whole time, where in Battlefield 1 you kind of jumped around and played as different people and different, you know, situations.
Well, yeah. I got weirded out when, you know, no review copies went out except for on that day, and nobody had any reviews ready. So I'm just like, I can't pull the trigger on it because Infinite Warfare burned me.
Yeah.
Although I really do like the zombies in Infinite Warfare.
I think that was fun. Without going into it, since we're going to talk about it next week, I think you're going to enjoy this Call of Duty. Mm-hmm. And I know everybody keeps saying it's like, you know, boots on the ground and it's back to their roots and all that stuff. We keep hearing that phrase for like months and months. It's true, though. It feels like a true Call of Duty, but it feels fresh still, like one of the old school ones. Okay. You know what I mean? Back to World War II and stuff. So
awesome.
Yeah, check it out. The zombie mode felt good. So we'll go into depth next week, but I think you should at least rent it and see if it's something that you'd be interested in playing. It's good stuff so far.
Nice.
Definitely. But we don't have anything else.
Jose's frothing. You can tell he just wants to talk about it. I know, right? Now.
Yeah.
Oh, it's good.
Look at him just cheesing.
I'm already playing it like on veteran. It's like,
I'm going through on regular just so I can get through and I'm finding all the hidden stuff, and then I'm going to go back and find all the stuff again since it's so short.
So enjoyable. I'm just doing one shot kills. It's just so crazy.
And the story is so good. I mean, see, we're going into it now. We got to stop.
All right.
We
got to stop. Don't stop. Okay, go.
Stop. If you guys want to reach out to the show, as always, hit us up at glitchtherapy@gmail.com, where you can reach out to us with questions, comments, concerns,
hopefully something nice to say. But yeah, give us
constructive criticism.
There you go.
Give me a compliment.
Yeah. Well, Jose demands it. I guess his ego needs it. Stroke it, guys. Stroke it.
Thanks.
You've got a very nice beard, Jose. Yeah.
Thank you.
And then reach out to touch
No shave.
It. No shave November. Sure. Also, if you want to support the show in a different way, you can head over to patreon.com/glitchtherapy. And as for as little as a dollar a month, you can support the show and throw a one-time donation if you will, if you'd like to. If you don't want to do the month-to-month thing, it's up to you. Do what you want.
Are you doing this Stewie Griffin?
No.
Stewie Griffin?
I just, you know.
You want to come?
I was not, but now I guess I was. So anything you want to do in that area, we definitely appreciate the support. As always, subscribe, please. Subscribe, rate, and review is such a simple, easy thing to do. And if you haven't done so yet and you've been listening all this time, shame on you. Get on that. It helps us out a lot. It helps us climb the charts so more listeners like yourself can find the show and listen to us and enjoy it. So do that, please, if you haven't. And yeah, that's pretty much it, guys. Where can we find everybody on social media and or your gamer tags?
I'm Ben, and I can be found on Twitter at HeyBenzilla, or you can find me on the PlayStation Network at Benzilla with 3 L's.
You catch me on the Xbox One and PS4, It's Your Senpai, and Instagram. I'm hipster made.
I love how he sped through that one.
I love how he closes his eyes like,
I just had to think about this.
You can catch me on the PlayStation Network at I'm One Wingnut, OneWNGNUT.
Nice.
Booyah.
It's cool. A cool name.
Yeah,
this is a cool name.
It's better than mine.
You're not our senpai.
It's not a contest, Jose.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Have some confidence, damn it.
You can hit me up at Nerdy Raimondo on Instagram and Twitter. If you want to game out with me on Xbox Live or PlayStation Network, my name is Dirty Dimes. And please hit up the show at Glitch Therapy on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Feel free to follow us on all those social media sites. Other than that, it's been a pleasure talking with you guys per usual. And hope you guys all have a great week. Thanks for listening. And game on.
Game on.
Game on. Game on.